and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Cooking Like a Pro. You have Chef Cal and my beautiful Mrs. Chef across
hello,
the table
hello,
for
hello.
Me.
Good evening.
Yeah, Mrs. Krista, or that's what they used to call her at school. Yeah, she used to cook it for, I don't know, where we fellowship at Little Country Church in there. The school, they have a K through eighth grade there.
Mm-hmm.
So she was known as Mrs. Krista. She
actually Mrs. D.
Mrs. D.
Yes.
She took over the kitchen, over the food.
Yes, I did. You taught me and you left me to take it over and run with it.
and you did fantastic. You did fantastic. You know, today, I want to start off with something that's an interesting fruit. I knew something about them. I know a lot more now after playing around with them for the last couple of weeks. And that's pomegranates. We got two huge pomegranate trees in our property. There's got to be 150 pomegranates on
each tree. They
are
ready to
go. Yeah, I think I'm going to put them in my little red wagon and go stand on the street. But, you know, and looking at some of the mythology of pomegranates and their healing properties and so many other things, but they originally were known as the holy fruit, and they are a natural aphrodisiac. They literally elevate your testosterone. So if we need any more of that.
Well, they say that Adam and Eve didn't necessarily partake of the apple tree, that it may have been a pomegranate tree.
It might have been a pomegranate tree that got them into trouble, and I know that, you know, I feed those things to our chickens, and they're pretty excited about it, so maybe that's why it's raising our chickens' testosterone. Does that mean they're going to start laying eggs faster?
That's guy chickens, honey, not girl chickens. We have girl chickens.
Oh, so they have, what do they have? Something different? Okay.
It's not guy chicken parts.
Oh,
it's girl chicken parts.
So we got to get a rooster now. All right, folks. Need a rooster. We are outside the city limits, so we can get a rooster. But anyway, it was, I looked up, mentioned many times, in scripture, actually, always in the Old Testament. So it was just something that was, apparently available, and it can grow in so many places because it's got such a hard exterior. So we have a deer problem now that deer season's over, where they're coming up and they're eating our herbs, they're eating our cherry tomatoes, I'm getting ready to fend them off. I'm not sure.
Well, at this point, I think we'll just let them mow down the rest of the tomatoes. I think we're done.
Let them mow down the rest? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, you know, it's
Last Supper.
Well, we know it's something tall because
it's actually me.
Is that what you're...
I'm sneaking over and eating all your
Ben's
guys.
Coming over, and are you a tomato fiend?
Listen to the show, I get hungry, and then I follow you guys home, eat your food, and then...
Well, they are delicious. We have the sun...
I can confirm,
Sun...
We've got the sun gold.
Sun gold, sunburst, something like that, and there's more of a pear-shaped one, and some
round
yellow
pear,
ones.
Yeah.
And then a great big one. We had the big BLT.
That was a beefsteak.
Yep.
My $30 tomato.
Yeah, $30 tomato.
Yeah, all the dirt, all the water, all the time. I get one tomato the entire year.
Well, it's pomegranate season now, so you should be seeing pomegranates in your stores. If you're not seeing them, you should be seeing them soon. They also increase, and I just went down this list of things, and it was they increase athletic performance. The Greeks used to eat them before, you know, they went out in the Colosseum, I guess. And
really?
I don't think it saved them from the lions. I'm not overly sure of that. But the thing about it that most people, I think, have a challenge with is that they are a seed.
You had one open tonight just before we came over. I popped one in my mouth. I'm like, oh, I forgot these have seeds in them because I love juice.
Yeah.
The pomegranate juice. I love the pomegranate flavor, but I'm not partial to the seeds.
Well, the juice itself is often used in what we call grenadine.
Which I love.
Yeah. So, which I would have, you know, a simple syrup, of course, added. But if you sprinkle them out in a salad, I mean, they are extremely good for you. And if you put them in a salad, it's almost just like eating croutons. There's certainly nothing wrong with them. You know, they are edible. You can sprinkle them in your yogurt, a variety of things. Ice cream toppings is one of the things I came across. But cereal, even put them in your cereal. Like if you have, you know, oatmeal or something in the morning. But what you do is you want to cut the, they call it the crowned side. So that's the side that is not growing from the tree.
That's the smooth side. Yeah. That's not where the little flower.
No, that is the flower, because the flower looks just like a crown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what we might call
it. So what you do is you cut that off. And again, that's really one of the challenges is that you get everything red. You know, you got to figure out a way not to do that. So I cut the end of it off, the crown end, maybe about a half inch. And then I put scored the side, almost like you would if you were doing orange wedges, but just through the outside, just through the exterior. And then you just face it down in ice cold water, let it sit there for about 10 minutes and underwater, and then you just start picking it apart. And what's great is the seeds go straight to the bottom because of the weight.
And then all the pith floats to the
and
top.
And any pith or any of the exterior. They had another name for it. I don't know what it was. It started with an A, but anyway.
So you don't have to, like, bang on them? Because, I mean, I've seen so many things online, different techniques.
Yep, I watched that on YouTube a while back where they just kind of bang on it to bang them out. But this, literally, I just, from underwater, using my fingers, I was able to just pry all the seeds off. They all went to the bottom. Then I took a little skimmer, skimmed off all those little particles, and then just put them on a towel so they would dry. And another thing to remember, too, is, When all the pomegranate seeds are together in there, they look very, very red because that's their dominant color. But when you take them out, they can be anywhere from, you know, a light pink to really white color.
Yeah, the ones had there today that I saw was like, I thought the pomegranate was red.
Yep, they still have all that fruit. Well, they're inside of, you know, that red, I think, just kind of, you know, pulls itself through. But they're delicious. They're delicious. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with those. Again, you know, pomegranate martinis. We mentioned beverages, using them for things that you would normally call grenadine in for sweet, juicy, but they have that tartness. And that tartness comes from the seed. It's similar to what you would have if you for a grape seed.
I've never sat and ate grape seeds.
Okay. Well, if you've eaten grape, you've never had a grape that had a seed in it?
Oh, the seeded ones. Yeah. I try and stay away from those.
Well,
they're too much work.
You do the same thing with watermelon. Okay. You know, I mean, she's spoiled, folks.
Yeah, I am.
Literally, she's spoiled. I remember coming home and I brought this beautiful watermelon on the side of the road, brought it home. It was a crimson. I remember that. It was a crimson red. And it was a beautiful watermelon. And it had seeds in it. And
I forgot that they had seeds because we always buy seedless.
I thought we were going to have to go into couples therapy or something because
it's work. It's work.
I know, but that when I was a kid, they didn't have. I do not remember seedless.
No, they didn't when we were little. And my dad would, you know, cut off a big old slab, you know, straight through the entire watermelon, a big old plate size round slab, like a, you know, cut off a tree, and it would be full of seeds. But as a kid, it was fun to kind of pick them away and move them around.
Well, you spit them out. You get to spit them out your mouth.
I always flaked them away with a fork. I never.
No,
okay, different upbringing.
Yeah, apparently. But spit them out was one of the funnest things about the watermelon.
You probably spit out the sunflower seeds, too.
Well, of course. The seeds. You spit out the shell.
The shell, yeah, okay.
The shell. So, but very nutritional. Extremely nutritional. Health benefits. They also, because they are this natural aphrodisiac, they'll help your mood, you know? Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so if you hear me say something, sweetheart, like, you know, could you just go grab a pomegranate? Well, then you know that I'm that's more of a mood swing.
All right.
That's needed.
Code for a pick-me-up.
Code, yes, code, or a safe word.
Okay, safe. It's a safe. Pomegranate's going to become a safe word.
Pomegranate, yeah. Well, don't ask me how to spell it, but they will lower your blood pressure. I mean, they fight off cancer. It comes down to the fact they're an antioxidant.
Oh, okay.
You know, so that's a good way. And anyway, and you know what? You'll like this too. They exfoliate your skin. So when you scrub your skin, like how women do.
Do you use it like the loofah? kind of?
The loofah.
It could be a loofah.
The loofah.
I'm going to have to look that one up.
Okay. Well, we'll come back as people are looking up loofah and pomegranates. But again, we appreciate you listening to Cooking Like a Pro here on KCNR. 1460 AM, and again, it even comes in a little better sometimes on the 96.5 FM. Again, Cooking Like a Pro, back in just a moment.
You are, cause it's gonna be a hot and magic silver pot to the room.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Reading businesses, listen up. Black Bear Diner is now offering catering for events, meetings, and gatherings. Fuel your team with our delicious homestyle meals that everyone will love. Ready to make your next event a hit? Visit blackbeardiner.com for more information and place your order. Black Bear Diner, your go-to for great food and good times.
Black Bear Diner.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tiger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by. Get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday Match when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim friends sauce with the O's and they wish a fob on the side.
All right, well, welcome back again to Cooking Like a Pro, and we really appreciate you folks tuning in. It's a thrill for us to be here because, you know, food is our passion. It's just something that I've done since I was just a wee little kid, and you know, I've already said the story that, you know, I come from a family of hunters, and I was the worst shot. I don't know that I literally was, but I probably was. I don't think I was even as good a shot as Grandma, but anyway, I did want to reach out and say thank you to Charlu's as a sponsor, Charlu's, pizza, pasta, and more, just south of here. If you haven't been there in a while, make it on down there. And, it's one of the very few family-run restaurants that you see, which, you know, COVID, took out a lot of them. No, I don't mean getting off topic, but it's just that's just the way it is. And it's sad. It's all corporate restaurants because family restaurants, small businesses run 80%. That's 80% of the economy for the United States. But anyway, they're located down the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center. Serving really just delicious pizza.
And they now have gelato.
Oh, they got gelato. And you know what? You need to get on their rewards program.
Yes.
I was talking to Kathy, and you need to get on the rewards program because there's all kinds of benefits. Matter of fact, you have $5 off just for signing up.
Yeah, you do.
You know, and now that we're spending so much money on buying products, maybe, you know, sometime going out and treating the family to a nice, big, beautiful pizza and a salad. And, oh, the beer wall. Don't forget the beer wall. And it is worth it just to go for gelato. But or the beer wall. You can have the gelato. I'll take the beer wall.
So anyway, you got to start with their salad. They've got the most amazing Mary's salad. Yeah.
So anyway, so try it out. And if you haven't been there lately, revisit Charlu's. Hey, tell them Cooking Like a Pro sent you. since you, it's nice to get in on a family atmosphere down there. So, but I did want to talk about that led me right into our next topic for this quarter. And again, you can call us down here. You can call us at 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. And we have a question from that somebody sent to our podcast, which is cookinglikeapropodcast.net. cookinglikeapropodcast.net. And the question was, what kind of a roast do I get in order for it to become tender? And
because she's been married, you know, she's like cooking a roast for 45 years, and she says, I have never had a not tough, not stringy roast. She says, I bought chuck roast, bottom rounds, rump roast, and I caramelize them, and I sear them, and I put them in the crock pot, and no matter what, they still come out tough and stringy. So what am I doing wrong?
Well, there's two words there, tough and stringy. Tough would just mean that it simply isn't being cooked long enough, because eventually everything gets tender and it falls apart. Stringy would lend me to believe that it's being cut the wrong direction. Because, you know, all beef is muscle fibers, and they're held together by connective tissue. So they're long strings of muscle, which the animal gets more of as it moves and works and runs and sleeps and whatever it is that it does. So you have to kind of think about the animal and think about, where on this animal can I buy pieces of meat that don't work so hard? All right, we call it working muscles and riding muscles. And the muscles that work are the ones in the front. That's where you get your chuck roast that comes off your shoulder. And then the ones in the back where you get your rump roast, you get your sirloin. And you can get a good steak out of sirloin as well. But that middle part are all the end with the loin, the tenderloin, the strip loin, prime rib. You know, ribeye. Those all come from that center of the animal that just kind of hold the animal together. So you want to get a more tender piece, but
piece should you get? If you go to the store and you're not thinking about what part of the animal is, if you're looking at a label, what label should you be looking for?
I would get something that, it sounds like what she said were good ideas. I mean, a chuck is fine. Anything that comes from the back sirloin. So basically anything that's a large piece of meat, cut it into about one inch to maybe 3/4 inch squares, you know, or about the same size pieces. Brown those off, throw in your vegetables, and then cook it till tender. If you're talking about a crock pot, something that's slow cooking, which the cooking process is melting down that connective tissue that's holding it together, right? That's what makes it chewy. So you have to break that down. That's why you have to use a wet cooking method. A dry cooking method, you know, those items in the middle of the animal. You got your filet mignon, which comes off the tenderloin. You got your New York steak, which comes off the strip loin. You got your prime rib and your ribeye that comes out of that area. So those are all attached right in that middle area. So those you can do dry cooking, char grilling, sauteing, roasting. But if you're going to cook something in liquid, the cooking process is what breaks that down. So I would just cook it longer, you know, cook it in a crock pot, put a lid on it, and then say, okay, it might take 8 hours. You know, it might take 4 hours. I mean, when people say something is tough, well, I don't know how heavy their pot is. That's a big thing. Yeah, you know, the bottom of the pot has to be heavy enough. But on a crock pot, where surround cooking, same thing with Instant Pots. You know, they'll cook it faster. They'll break down that connective tissue faster.
And you leave the entire thing whole. Should you ever cut a roast to a smaller size so it cooks faster?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, matter of fact, that's what I would recommend. So you basically make it more of a stew. If you wanted to keep it whole, then it's just going to take longer to cook. And that's where I probably bring pressure in. You know, again, like an Instant Pot or something that's going to, you know, or if you put something in the morning, you know, when you head to work, you know, and it cooks all day, it's going to be
so if you're looking at making action like a whole roast, you know, you go and you get a, you know, go to the carving station, you get a slice of roast beef. So you just need to cook that longer?
No, that's going to, now we're talking about something different. Now we're talking about something that's going to be on the, maybe on the upper rump area, where they, what they call it, top round, which is that whole back butt in. It's got, you know, it's got two sides of the butt there on the animal. You can take that there, and it doesn't have as much connective tissue, so you can roast that off, and that's going to give you something tender. If you want to say, like, make a roast beef sandwich.
So that's called a top round.
Top round.
As opposed to a bottom round.
Bottom round is going to be a little bit lower.
So a round is not a round. There's a top round and a bottom round. I did not know that.
Yeah. So just, you know, I mean, I think you can, you know, cook it under pressure if you've got something that is a from a area of the animal, the anatomy of the animal, which is going to be tough. I mean, that's going to be muscular. So think about it that way. You know, and I've been working on this this cookbook. If it doesn't kill me, it's going to come out great. But the first chapter is actually all family recipes. And so I was excited about that. We got my mom's mac and cheese, that white mac and cheese that my son Joshua loves. You know, it is like favorite thing in the world. And of course, Dad's biscotti. Holidays are coming up. Dad's going to have to get going on his biscotti. He's really nailed that biscotti.
Yes, he has. Yeah.
Well, except for the time Mom mixed in. Well, I don't know if it was Mom, and she's probably listening, so I apologize, Mother. But somebody mixed the dried beans in with the pistachios.
Oh, I didn't know about that one.
Yeah.
That happened.
So instead of getting a nice pistachio, you got this rock hard bean.
Whoops.
Yeah, you know, it's texture. I don't know, but my aunt Dare, when she was alive, she gave me a recipe for a spinach strawberry banana avocado salad with poppy seed dressing.
Yeah, you talked about that one a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I've done that in several restaurants. So it's just a great combination, and it's unique. You know, you don't really get spinach anymore. About the only time you see spinach is like maybe with a like a warm bacon dressing or something. Or after that, it's probably cooked, sautéed, creamed, whatever. But
now you got me thinking. I see sometimes, you know, regular spinach and baby spinach. What's the difference? Just a younger growing?
Yeah, one's just younger. And it, like anything else, the older it gets, the tougher it's going to get. And then, of course, Grandpa's barrel chicken. My dad showed me how to make that when I was so young, so young. And I recall... Oh, I don't know how many years ago it was. Grandpa, I remember, he passed away back in the late, it was 1989. But he used to do this barbecue sauce, and he never wrote it down. And I remember my mother giving me a cookbook once, Better Housekeeping, I think it was, something like that. I was going through
sunset.
It. You know.
It was a sunset.
Yeah, it tells you how to fix your washer and dryer, and, you know, what to do if your breaker goes out, and, you know, how to knit mittens for kids. And then it's got
How to build a barbecue.
And then it's got some food. Yeah. It should not only show you how to cook on a barbecue, how to build it. But anyway, there was a page there with a barbecue sauce recipe, and it literally had Grandpa's fingerprints. It must have been 50 fingerprints from, you know, him using those two pages and having the barbecue sauce on his fingers. So that was something that was very precious, very precious. You know, to me, and there's those blessings in life. If you look for the blessings, you'll find them. They're out there.
So speaking of barbecue sauce, going back to making a roast, would you use the barbecue sauce when you're cooking a roast?
No, I wouldn't. You know, if you want some acid in there, you do want some acid. So you can use anything from tomato to normally it would be tomato paste, like what we used when I showed you how to make the stock the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But you could use anything. Tomato ketchup would work if that's all you got. Or, you know, and barbecue sauce, but as a flavoring afterwards, I wouldn't do it beforehand. And it will give it that caramel amber look to it instead of that flat, you know, brown board color. You know, you can make the same meal at home for about 25% of what it is costing you to go out and get it. And that adds so much more to the cooking, and to the atmosphere. You know, you end up, I mean, it's better for your mental health. It's always going to be healthier for you to buy your foods and cook them for you because you know the source of where they came from.
So. You're in control of the process too, yeah. And all the additives and stuff like that.
Better nutrition, a lot of things that one of the things that I seen was like even manners, you know, social behavior, you know, just just getting the family together at the table. That's what we need to start doing, folks. We want to get the country back in shape. Let's get the family back at the table. So, Cooking Like a Pro, we'll be back in just a moment here at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Back in just a moment.
When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
That's amore.
Bells will ring,
ding-a-ling-a-ling,
ding-a-ling-a-ling,
and you'll sing Vita Bella.
For Halloween, there's plenty of decorations to choose from at Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson. They feature a wide variety of costumes and costume jewelry, along with a lot of fall decor, pumpkins, garland, wreaths, and more. Mix and match antique, shabby chic, and farmhouse furniture. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 10 to 6, Sunday noon to 5, and Monday 10 to 6. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals, and the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to LakeShasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
What you getting out of living? Who cares for what you've got if you're not having any fun? Are you having any laughs?
There you go, folks. There you go. We are supposed to be having fun, right? This is the only life we get. Let's live it. Let's have some fun. And food is where so much of that is comes from. I'm just tailgating a little bit on our previous discussion in the last block that you know, about food and being fun, having fun and enjoying family together. And our family, you know, we're loud Italian family, so there can be all kinds of discussions going on. But
well, I had fun last night. I made your mother's enchiladas. How did I do? Did I do okay?
You did. You did good. You did good. You did that for the Boy Scouts.
Yes, it is.
Is there an enchilada merit badge, or what was?
No, it was kind of an addition to the cooking merit badge. They already wrapped that up, but they wanted to learn how to make enchiladas, so I made those last night and took some Costco chicken and broke it down, made it into that, and then took the bones and made a stock.
Yep, I seen it. You did that. I left it alone. I didn't touch a thing. I caramelized some onions and kind of just stood out of your way. Had the chili brick. Chili brick's always something. It's a frozen chili concoction that you can get. It used to be made by Denison's. I'm not sure.
No, it's not Denison's. It's Johnson's.
Yeah, it used to be.
Whoever Johnson's is.
Yeah, so anyway, you can get it in the frozen section. So if you want to make a chili, go to the freezer of your store and tell them you want chili brick. They might not know what it is, so.
But I've got a quart of chicken stock left over, because I only used 2 cups for the actual enchilada, so I got a quart of chicken stock. What can I do with it?
Soup. That leads us right into our next category, soup. Why? Because it's fall. Fall's in the air. I was cold this morning when I went outside.
Yeah,
and it's a great thing. But it's a great thing for a lot of things. One is it's communal. it's something that, you know, you just put a pot out there and people can just help themselves to more. Great way to use up your leftovers. I mean, that's what I did at D-Materials. I'd walk in every day and I'd open up the freezer and open up the reach-ins or refrigerators. I'd look around because every day you got soup. Everyone that came in got soup and salad. In fact, if I look back, that's probably the only advice I really remember my dad giving me when it came to the restaurant when we first started. He said, make sure people get full. So we were at Dean McHero's restaurant. We were there for 18 years and you always got soup and salad. And in writing this cookbook, I'm going back and I'm looking at these multi-course, you know, just extravagant meals for like $30, including wine or something, or $15, and it's five courses. And
so what's your favorite soup? I mean, you can make any soup. We can literally make any type of soup. But do you have a favorite?
Well, I taught a class in soup making for at the college level for, I don't know, a decade and a half or something. So it's really kind of hard. Depends on the mood. Of course, thinner soups in the summertime. You know, good gazpacho that's made real well. Use a little, like Bloody Mary mix for the background flavor. It'll get a little spice in it. But going into the fall right now, you really want the thicker soups and cream of anything. Cream of cauliflower, cream of broccoli.
Butternut squash.
Yeah. You know, and most of those are made. Yeah, butternut squash is a great one. But most all cream soups. In fact, if you're a vegetarian and you go to a restaurant and you're having, and the soup of the day is cream of, you know, carrot. Make sure to ask them whether there is any protein in there in the sense of animal protein. Because
a lot of times they'll use a chicken stock chicken instead stock, of vegetable stock.
Chicken stock is almost always used in it's used in your minestrone. It's used in a bunch of them. But I'd have to say probably French onion. You know, cream of seven onion is a good one, and I know we actually put that one on
online. That one's on YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube. You can go to YouTube and
you can try to search at YouTube. We're not in the algorithm very good yet. Yeah, so if you just go to culinarilyyours.net, that will get you to YouTube.
Well, if you go to YouTube and type in, you know, cream of seven onion soup, you'll get it. Because it's like the only one on there.
Yeah, it's the only one on there.
Normally, French onion soup is what it is. It's a beef broth enhanced with tomato, your bouquet garni, of course, like we talked about stocks last week, your, you know, parsley, bay leaf, and thyme, and then just as many onions as you can put in there. You cannot put too many onions
in French onion soup.
Yeah.
Because it's all about the onions.
Yeah, and then you might tighten it up if it needs it, but a slurry would work, a little cornstarch would be fine, cornstarch and water. Get it to the right consistency because one of the best things, of course, that makes the soup is having all that melted, bubbly cheese on top. Now, the French, and usually some croutons between the soup, and then some toasted croutons so they don't, you know, soak up into the soup. They should stay nice and toasty. But generally, it's going to be a combination of some kind of Swiss cheese. Usually, it's Gruyere. And then Romano and Parmesan. It's usually three different cheeses, and they can be whatever you want. It depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for something that melts, like it's real stringy, if that's your look, then you would go with mozzarella. That's why they use mozzarella on pizza, you know, because it holds everything together. So when you get that big stretch, and there's actually a term for that stretch. I don't know.
Cheese pull. It's the cheese.
The pulls?
It's the pull.
Is it the pull?
Yeah, it's a cheese pulp. So with the French onion soup, I've heard some people say they put a big, giant crouton on top, but you'd have to cut through that. Some put small croutons, and some do souffles. I mean, can you vary the type of bread on top?
Yeah, anything. It's basically, the idea is just to keep the cheese on top while it melts. So usually just a couple thin slices of crostini on an angle, and you put a couple pieces on there. And because you want the consistency. It's like I was over visiting mom and dad today, and mom was making clam chowder, and it was a little bit thin, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. What'd she do to thicken it up?
Did she put a roux in it?
No, it was already cooked.
It was already cooked? Cream?
Nope.
Okay.
You have to bring it out. I know that you know this.
Okay, she's thickening a
clam chowder that was already made.
It was already made.
Yeah. How many times have I said, where are the mashed potatoes?
Oh, you did trick me on that.
Because there are potatoes actually in clam chowder.
Yeah.
And
so
potatoes.
Like potato buds, potato flakes.
Potato buds, potato flakes, potato pearls, whatever type of potato.
Potato starch.
We used to use those all the time, especially in a vegetable soup. You know, you get done, maybe your broccoli cheddar isn't quite where you want it as far as consistency. You know, you don't want it, you know, sticky or really even stringy for that matter, but you want it, you know, to be tighter, of course, and some instant mashed potatoes.
There you go.
Yeah, I always kept them around because you never could tell. Because when you're in a hurry, and all of a sudden it's like, gosh, that needs to be thick. Like I said, you mentioned cream. Well, the cream would have to cook down for a while. You mentioned roux, then the flour would have to cook out for a while. So when you're in a hurry, it's almost like using a xanthan gum as a cold food stabilizer. You can use mashed potatoes as a warm food stabilizer.
So I'm thinking of another soup that I have not had in forever. My mom used to make when I was little. It's a beef barley soup.
Beef barley, and then that falls in the thin. So soups are basically broken up into just a few different categories. Generally, there's five. But you have thick soups, like we talked about, maybe cream of broccoli, cheddar. Then you have thin soups, like a beef barley. Chicken noodle would be certainly one of the.
Because you leave it more brothy.
Yep. Then you can go to a national soup. You can also use a bisque. A bisque is very similar to a creamed soup, like a creamed vegetable soup, but a bisque would generally always signify that there was shellfish in it.
Okay, so it is seafood. So yeah. It's a seafood bisque of some sort.
So lobster bisque would be probably the most popular one that's out there that you'll see. But there are a lot of them. Minestrone, you know, that would come off of a broth base, right? Because a minestrone has a broth. It's not thickened up. It might get a little bit tighter because of pasta. You know, and here's one thing when I'm making soup. If I'm using a starch, and you mentioned barley earlier, I cook that separate, and then we add it as it goes out. Like in a restaurant, we might say, okay, here's some barley right next to it. You throw in a tablespoon of barley, and then you put the nice hot, you know, broth soup over it, kind of like you would in a consomme. The consomme is named after its garnish, so basically it's the garnish that's in there. Then you pour on this super, super flavorful, completely crystal clear liquid.
Yeah, because a lot of times I've, you know, in the past I would make a minestrone, it'd be fantastic flavor, and then I'd put in the potatoes and the pasta, and then all the liquid would disappear, all the flavor would disappear, so then yeah. I started thinking, okay, what if you put the pasta separate?
Yeah, starch soaks it all up. So that's the whole purpose behind if you're putting even chicken rice soup, I do the same thing. I can keep the rice separate. And because for one, you know it's getting the right portion, and you're also not getting this just bowl of, like, you know, starchy, you know, noodles or rice or some other kind of starch instead of a nice, well-rounded bowl of soup.
Now, do you do just a plain rice or plain pasta, or can you cook them in a stock just so they get a little bit of flavor in them too?
You could cook them in stock, but I wouldn't worry about it because you really kind of want, I mean, if I'm adding barley, for example, to something, then I'm adding that because I want that nuttiness. I want that earthiness. You know, I don't need it to taste like, you know, a particular type of a protein. So I would be neutral with that. And I know that I went out to Bob's Red Mill out on Airport Road. We happen to live very close to it.
To the sun.
Boy, is that a great place to go out and shop. They have a storefront, a brick and mortar out front that you can go in. It's a huge, large manufacturing distribution plant.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of people might not know that if you see a Bob's Red Mill on the store shelves, you know, very nationally famous, that actually we have locally Moore's Flour Mill, his original flour mill that are still run by his sons and do a lot of the milling for Bob's Red Mill.
Yeah. So Moore's Flour Mill, of course, here for decades upon decades.
It's the original mill before
50,
he created
60
it.
Years. But anyway, yeah, just head out to Airport Road, and it's out there, you know, fairly close to Highway 44, and you can pick yourself up some, I mean, really amazing stuff. If you're into vegetarian, or, and you don't even have to be, but so much of these grains are going to add that protein that you're missing by not having beef.
Well, you can have additional types of flour, not just wheat that we see in the stores.
And Israeli couscous and your polentas and I was walking around that store, and I just didn't know what to do.
Yeah, I'd love to get their barley flour, make a barley bread.
Yep. So tons of things out there you can get from Bob's Red Mill on Airport Road. And, again, appreciate you tuning in, and we'll be right back to talk a little bit more about food. You found us here on KCNR, 1460 AM radio, Cooking Like a Pro, Chef Cal and Mrs. Chef Krista.
This is the night when the heavens are right on this lovely bed on order.
Discover Mosaic Restaurant, where every experience is memorable and every meal is a masterpiece. Join us for breakfast, lunch, dinner, happy hour, and weekend brunch in our indoor dining room, bar, and outdoor patios. Enjoy Mosaic handcrafted cocktails, fine wines, craft beers, stone oven pizza, and locally sourced specials. Conveniently located next to the Sheraton Reading Hotel, just steps from Turtle Bay Museum, Sundial Bridge, and beautiful garden. Turtle Bay members enjoy a 10% discount year-round. For menus and reservations, visit mosaicreading.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, and this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Gran Habanos Corojo No. 5 with the unusual Shaggy Foot. Offering two distinct experiences, Corojo No. 5 comes from Honduras with Nicaraguan, Mexican, and Costa Rican tobaccos, finished off with a spicy Nicaraguan Corojo wrapper leaf for a heavy and rich smoke. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Redding invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Redding.
Welcome back to Cooking Like a Pro. I really wanted to let out a, you know, kind of a James Brown scream there. I wasn't sure in the middle of
that.
Yeah, I can't do it for one. You're the singer. You're the one that, you're the one with the vocal cords. But, yeah, I don't know. My wife did, she kind of chastised me off the air. So I just want, since she did it on off the air and I don't have it on tape, I have to say it. And it was, This segment I want to talk a little bit about, a question I get a lot, which has to do from people that want to be a chef, you know, and I know I brought this up a couple of weeks ago to Charlou, and it's like, what would you tell your 20-year-old self?
My response was, don't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Run.
So, yeah, but, you know, well, it is. It's difficult.
You have to have the passion first.
Yeah, you have to have a passion for two things. You have to have a passion to serve people. And you have to have a passion about food, about loving food, about treating it right, about respecting it. One of the things that really, I don't know, I get taken back when I see it is people mistreating, you know, the food, like carrying a fish by the tail. You know, I know when I go up to, Pier, what is that, Pier 51? What's the one up in?
The one up in.
Is it Seattle?
Seattle. Okay.
Where they throw the fish, you know. And I'm just thinking, wow, right they're now. Breaking all the vertebrae and it's pulling all those fillets apart, you know. But yeah, you need to take care of it. And you know, especially we mentioned about, you know, lettuces last week. And, you know, these are things that bruise, things that you have to be careful of. And careful with, and that's why storing is such a big thing. But I do have a lot of people get a hold of me, and this happens quite often and say, hey, you know, my son wants to be a, you know, a chef. Yeah, I mean, he really likes to cook. I said, well, if he really likes to cook, you know, it takes some stamina. It certainly the atmosphere is different than it was. You know, I don't think you'd have to worry about getting hit, you know, in this day and age. But those European chefs were pretty mean. Everything was kind of like when you see like Ramsay on TV, Gordon Ramsay in Hell's Kitchen, that kind of stuff. I don't really watch that stuff, but it's that type of command. It's like an army. It's a brigade, but it's like an army brigade. I mean, and there is only one person in charge of the army.
Well, that's
and
where
that's the chef.
Yeah, that all yes, comes from the military. Chef. Military is where the current kitchen was designed from.
Yes, chef. I've been trying to get her to just to address me that way in around the house. Now we're coming up on, you know, 20 years of marriage, and she's never said yes, chef. Yet, so I don't know.
Maybe. Yes, chef.
Yes, there you go. Bonnie, I'm gonna record.
I'll get the next producer to start addressing you as such.
Yes, if you could splice that out, yeah.
Yes, chef.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that, Ben.
Yes, chef.
Yeah. So, find a place to go through. Basically, there's a couple different ways to do it. And if you want to do a journeyman or an apprenticeship, you can get on with an organization that's nationwide called the American Culinary Federation. That's what I did back in 1978. I graduated my apprenticeship in 81, and it's just very well-rounded. But then it's more of a journeyman style where you're getting a paycheck as you're working. Plus, you know, you're finishing high school, going into college, so you always got to eat, which is always a benefit. But I just really loved it. I don't know that the servanthood part of it, you know, was there at the beginning. It certainly became that when touching tables became such a big thing for me, and that's one of the chapters in my book. Touching tables is, it's just, that's how you connect with people. That's how you see someone and you enjoy yourselves and you have conversation and you have a community, because food is community. And in order for it to be community, you can't be by yourself. So that was a big part of it.
Well, I found an interesting quote as I'm writing these smaller cookbooks that we'll have for sale here in a few weeks. One quote I found by Chef Alain Chappelle. He said, "You have to love either what you're going to eat or the person you are cooking for. Then you have to give yourself up to cooking. Cuisine is an act of love."
There you go. I remember Charlie Trotter signed one of his books, "After Love, There Is Only Cuisine."
It is. It's a passion project.
Yeah, I got to figure out, well, how am I going to sign my book? Now, first off, I got to get the thing done. But I remember Thomas Keller was, it's all about finesse. And finesse is one of those things that, you know, when I talk about being in a kitchen, first off, we talked about the tyranny of a recipe last week. Well, I wanted to mention the tyranny of mundane tasks. Because you have to be the type of person that does not mind doing something that's mundane. Because if you're going to cut an onion for onion soup, you're cutting a 50-pound bag.
Okay, so
you're cutting onions for an hour. So you better not, you know, have a problem with doing the same thing over and over and over. Because that's.
I was literally thinking about this yesterday. I was pulling all of the chicken meat off of the bones, and that took quite a while to do, pulling each little piece off. And I'm going. But what got me through it is I had a podcast going. So you're able to kind of check out on what you're physically doing, but then, you know, still keep your mind going with, you know, some sort of learning elsewhere. So to be able to kind of not see it as something that is mundane, but something that you are accomplishing for family and for friends, but you can also take your mind off of it.
Was it a food podcast?
Actually, it was. I was listening to Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, man. I feel violated.
I was learning how to make lobster ravioli.
Well, fine. I can teach you how to make lobster ravioli. You don't have to go to another chef. Wow. You know, I don't know. Hey Ben, we might need to get into couples therapy.
Yes, chef.
Thank you. Thank you. Very good. But anyway, when they asked me this question, what advice do you have for young for someone that's young that wants to do it again. If they love to do it, they love to work with their hands. It is, you know, high temperature and long periods of time on your feet. But imagine, you know, a lot of jobs are. And again, you know, it's not like, you know, 12 hours in a dungeon peeling potatoes like, you know, Michelle Richard told me, you know, back when he was in a, starting off when he was 12 years old in Lyon, France. But it has evolved and modified to what it is today.
Now, so before you go signing up for the CIA, the Culinary Institute of America, which is probably one of the biggest ways to go to learn.
In the world.
Just go work in a restaurant, experience it, shadow someone. I mean, these schools are expensive.
Yeah, find out if it's something you want to do. And again, and I didn't go to chef school. You know, and I made it to, I would have to say, the epitome of my profession. I mean, I think if you can get all the way to winning a gold medal in the World Cooking Olympics, that you've, you know, what you've done to train yourself and the people you've surrounded yourself with, that you've been successful.
Well, and you went all the way to certified executive chef, which, you know, executive chef is one thing, but he's certified by the American Culinary Federation. It is a lot of work. You have to go through testing. You have to prove yourself.
That was 25 years. I was a certified executive chef for 25 years. There's only one step higher.
Which is certified master chef.
And yes, we were blessed to speak with Chef Bert Catino down at the Sardine Factory. You go down to the Sardine Factory, you definitely tell him that Chef Cal from Redding, California said hi to Chef Bert. He's 85 years old and he's still there.
He is running the show.
And he is it was one of the, I would say not one, probably the most emotional experience I've ever had with another chef. And I've had a lot of them. I've been very blessed to work with a lot of people that are no longer with us, and many that are.
Because he's passionate about the restaurant business. He's passionate about people, passionate about serving.
Yeah. And we keep coming back to that word, passion. You know, it has to be something that you're excited about doing, because it is a lot of work, and there has to be something that kind of separates you. And but, you know, I've taught everywhere from kindergartners all the way through, you know, fairly elderly folks when I was teaching adjunct out at the college. And other going traveling to schools and teaching etiquette and teaching manners and like which fork to use. And, you know, when it's prom season, I used to go out, because restaurants hate prom season because the kids just don't know how to act. You know, they put their gum under the table. They all get up and go to the bathroom at the same time. They don't know to hold the door open for someone. Just crazy stuff.
I think we have one of those tables with the gum underneath it still.
We do. We actually have a table from the hatch cover.
Yeah, and I looked underneath it one time, and I thought, oh
my,
that's
yeah.
Right.
So that there's some serious DNA under that table, and that DNA that's 50 years old. So I don't know. We might have to. Maybe we should auction off just the gum. I don't know. But anyway, it is one of those few things we have left. But as far as finishing up, just advice to young culinarians. Again, you know, food's about community. You need to serve. You need to have the passion for it. You need to like to work with your hands. You need to be creative, you know. Not creative until, you know, I remember the chef when I came up and said, I said something to him. I said, "Chef, I got this great idea about, you know, how we could tweak this item." And he said, "Well, great. When you become chef, we'll look at it." I said, "Yes, chef."
Yes, chef. Yes, chef.
I wasn't about to. He said, you know, because it is, there is a hierarchy, and there needs to be, because there's so many moving parts, you know, in a kitchen. It's just things are flying and things are moving, and, you know, there's people all over, and somebody has to kind of, you know, be the leader to ring that in.
And you do have to get to be mentally tough at a point. But for me, learning from you, I say the one word is also fascination. Food can be so fascinating, and how it works and how the flavors meld. There's just, you got to learn it, understand it.
Yeah. Well, it's an animal of itself. So we'd like to thank you for tuning in today, this evening, for Cooking Like a Pro. And we always appreciate when you tune in and to hear any of our previous shows. You can look for the Cooking Like a Pro podcast on Apple or Spotify. And let's not forget to make a difference in someone else's day by taking the word random out of the phrase random acts of kindness. Let's be intentional out there, folks, for about helping other people, right? Well, God bless you and yours. We'll see you next time here on Cooking Like a Pro. Have a great evening.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.